Put on your neurobalancers as we talk about Doctor Who, the Battle of Ranscor Avklos. Up next on Don't Blink from Golden Spiral Media, celebrating 10 years of podcasting.
This is your Don't Blink podcast, a fan podcast devoted to the BBC series known as Doctor Who. Sharing thoughts, theories, and listener feedback are your hosts, Wayne Henderson and Jada Wilkerson.
Thanks for joining us. This is your Don't Blink podcast, and I'm at Wayne Henderson, your voice acting Green Bay Packers fan. And please don't tell the doctor that Graham shot Tim Shaw in the foot. I hear she'd be livid.
And I'm Jada Wilkerson, Whovian, comics enthusiast and storyteller. And don't make me say it again. You heard me the first time. On this edition of Don't Blink, we'll review this season's Doctor Who season finale, the Battle of Ranscor Avklos. Go over the weekly Twitter and Facebook poll results and comments.
And we're going to share more of your great listener thoughts and theories, so let your voice be heard. We only get one more episode for probably over a year, so have this voicemail phone number handy so that you can share your thoughts on our New Year's Day special episode. Give us a call at area code 304-837-2278. That's 304-837-2278. Or use the voicemail widget from anywhere in the world, totally free, at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. So let's go ahead and share what we loved and anything we didn't, if there is such a thing, about the Battle of Ranscor Avklos. And Jade, I think you say it a lot better than I do. Interesting way to start the episode with a scene that takes place 3,407 years before the main part of our episode. And it's all because we get 9 separate distress calls from the same area of Ranscor Avklos.
Yeah, that was a great way to start the episode. I have to admit, I'm always a sucker for a time jump. And in a show about time travel, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest sucker. I guess it was made for me. But yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was very interesting. I loved how it was mysterious. We didn't know who it was.
Not at first, no.
I guess in hindsight, I probably could have guessed. I've heard other people say that they knew, but
really?
Yeah. I don't understand that because I was blindsided.
Yeah, without reading any IMDb things or articles or spoilery info, I can't imagine how you'd guess it, but I guess some people do. I like how once we find out what's really going on, the fact that we get 9 separate distress calls from the same area of the planet, it makes sense. But at first I'm like, where's all the other people? There's just that one guy. But what'd you think of the fact that they told us what the meaning of Ranscor Avklos means?
Well, it's really kind of depressing. Disintegrator of the soul. Why would you go to a place like that?
Why would you even call it that?
Yeah. And I wonder if it got its name from the 3,000 years that Tim Shaw ruled or was there and was manipulating the Ux, excuse me. Because obviously so much has gone down on that planet. Like you said, the 9 separate distress calls was from a battle, the Battle of Ranscor Avklos. But we don't ever get to see the battle. I wanted to see the battle.
Maybe someday, Jada, maybe someday. But you make a great point that perhaps at the very, very beginning of this episode, when we just see the couple of Ux, out practicing their religion and things like that, perhaps the planet was not called that at that point. But from the instant that Tim Shaw ended up there, all thanks to the doctor from the very first episode of this season, they just sent, I think they said she sent him as far away as he could go or something, and poof, there he is.
Yeah. Actually, I believe that it was the space Nazi that they sent back in time as far as possible.
Oh, you're right.
With, I almost forgot his name. How could I? But with Tim Shaw, I believe that she ended up corrupting his, I forgot the plot device that he used to get back home, the recaller or something like that. I believe she corrupted the data on it after all those DNA bombs went off at the same time. So I think that's how that came about.
Yeah. So long story short, it was the doctor's fault. This whole episode is basically the doctor's fault, with a little help from Tim Shaw, obviously, because she didn't need for him to do that. But as soon as we find out that the meaning of Renskorov Kolos is disintegrator of the soul, that's when Graham says, oh, sounds like another cheery adventure is in store.
Boy, he wasn't wrong.
No. And he had a lot going on. And we first meet, I love this name for a character, Poltracki. That is a Doctor Who name, if I've ever heard one. And Poltracki forgot who he was at first until the doctor puts on a very convenient neuro balancer.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was, I'm not sure if you watched Game of Thrones, but that was the same actor that played one of the kings on that show.
Oh, really? Like, no, yeah, I haven't seen, I've only seen the pilot episode.
Okay. Yeah, he was the King Baratheon, Robert Baratheon. The mighty, mighty muck in the first episode.
Oh, so I guess I've seen him, and I only watched most of the episode, but right. That this season of Doctor Who, Chris Chibnall has brought in the guest stars for these guest roles. I mean, he really has brought it.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was going to say. He's just added to the other list of all the amazing talent that we've had this season. It's great. I liked the way he portrayed Trekkie.
Yeah, they've all been really good. It's not like, hey, look at the shiny guest star we have this week.
Right. They really brought it. And when we first meet him in this episode, he's great too. I love the whole confused, I don't know my name, and the doctor's questioning him, and all of a sudden he forgets that he's already met her and he wants to know I love that whole scene. That scene was great. It was creepy.
That was cool when he's starting over. It's like, we just had this conversation. Oh, let's have it again. Right.
Yeah. But, you know, like you said, all this is due to what? Our favorite Stenza. Now,
he's really the only Stenza I know, but for the time being, I guess that'll make Tim Shaw our favorite.
Now, what I find funny is that I had the captions on. And when Yaz says Tim Shaw, it's almost phonetic. It's spelled out the way you would think Tim Shaw would be spelled. But whenever he's referred to or speaking in the closed captions, it's always spelt the proper way, which is insane, like TZM or something like that, SHA or something like that. So even in that universe, they're fully aware that they're just calling him Tim Shaw. It's great.
That sounds good, but we can call him Shim Shaw, Tim Shaw, any variation. I think we've got a good idea that we're talking about the big blue guy with the teeth stuck into his face.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. And he definitely wants something that Poltracki has.
Now, oh, yeah.
Now, the doctor finds the cool-looking little crystal. I wasn't sure what to think of it at first.
No, it was a very cool plot item. You know, it had that spinning, you know, we find out later it's a whole planet that's compressed in it. But it just looks like it might be a round moth. It's something, it's kind of spinning and fluttering around. I never would have guessed what was inside that crystal, but to me, that crystal almost looked like it belonged to the TARDIS, like the same, obviously the same Doctor Who set designer, but it almost looked like there's more to it than just that. Like it, I don't know, like the Stenza have something to do with this TARDIS design. It's so very similar.
Yeah. The Echo and design that runs throughout season 11, I really love. It's such a beautiful season. And we did get to see more of the TARDIS, too, in the beginning. That's right. That's probably the most we've seen of the TARDIS.
Yeah, I can't wait to see even more because I believe they've gone the extra mile. And who knows, maybe on New Year's Day, We'll get a little bit more. We'll see.
That'd be great.
But man,
that'd be great.
Jada, Tim Shaw, after being there for 3,400 years, this dude has a bit of an ego, doesn't he?
A bit. Quite a bit of an ego. Yeah. Wow. He's unstoppable.
He now wants to be referred to as a god. He's not the one really doing anything. He's just giving the orders. A little misguided, this Stenza man.
I would love to know if there was a steady decline in cognitive abilities as he dealt with the Ux over the years.
And it was also great that aside from all the Stenza Uck information and things going on there, we get a lot more about Ryan and Graham, and they're kind of paired up doing their part of it. And I love this little nugget we learn when they're talking about, you know, possibly trying to take out and kill Tim Shaw later on. And we basically find out that Ryan's nan, may Grace rest in peace, that she's actually tougher than Ryan and Graham combined. And I'm not surprised. It was just fun to learn.
You know, I'm not surprised either. Most nans are tougher. You know, this episode was much like this season, chock full of Ryan and Graham character development and resolution. And this didn't let down either. Now, Graham, again, he's probably the one person that's the furthest from my point of view as far as connecting to, as far as the TARDIS friends and whatnot. But boy, did I feel him this week. Yeah. The look on his face when they discovered that it was Tim Shaw there, and that conversation with the doctor about, no, I'm going to do this. Oh, it gave me chills.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that he tells her up front, because they've been through a lot already, he just lays it out there. Look, if I get a chance, I'm going to kill him. And she forbids him and threatens to send him. She wants him to go back to the TARDIS right now. And he says no. And if you go through with this, you won't be able to travel with me anymore. And he's like, so we know that some sort of showdown's coming on later on. But the acting was fantastic.
And another thing that I loved about that scene was that we don't often get that. No. We get companions who might not do what the doctor wants or will always bow to the doctor's wishes, but this was a straight up confrontation between a companion and a doctor, full on, I'm going to do this. No, you're not. Yes, I am. It was interesting and played very well.
And it was done in a fairly classy way in that Graham said, look, doctor, can I talk to you alone? You know, he didn't bring this up in front of everybody else, even though obviously Ryan knows what he's thinking and what he might have planned. Didn't get all that much on Yaz this week. She had a few things going on, but this was more of a Ryan and Graham episode. So who knows, maybe on New Year's Day, it'll be more Yaz focused. I have no idea.
Was Yaz in this episode?
Well, she was there. Sorry, Yaz. You've had many great episodes. You definitely have. They just couldn't cram everything in here and try to make it work.
And there was a lot in here.
There really was. I love this episode.
Oh, me too. Me too. And, you know, I really love the Ux.
All two of them.
All two of them. Oh, that's another thing. Now, what do you think about this? Do you think there's only two? Because I don't think she said, did she say there's only ever two at a time, or they're only in pairs?
I got the impression from Andinio, who I recognized right away as Mrs. Hughes from Downton Abbey. Man, JD, you've got to watch Downton Abbey. Oh my gosh, great show. I got the impression from what she was saying is that there's always only two. And I don't know if that means just on this planet. If there's time to replace one of them, how do they do it? I don't know. I think it's one of those things we're never going to know. But I believe that's what she said. There's only ever two.
I was wondering that because on a rewatch, the doctor said they've only ever been known to be on three planets. And I wasn't sure if she meant the same two or the only two on different planets, or if there were ever sighted on three planets, or if three planets are the only place that they are indigenous to. It was a mystery for sure. Yeah,
I totally missed that. That's a great catch. And when they first mentioned their name, it's so similar sounding, especially with a British accent, that at first I thought we were going to see the Oogs. I really did. Wait a minute. Totally different, but gotta love the Oogs too, right?
Oh yeah, that would have been so interesting.
No familiar faces just yet, but
not yet. Wait, he said in 2018. Now, to be fair, the upcoming holiday specials in 2019.
That's a way to really work around what they may have said earlier. Okay, yes. I'll keep that in the back of my mind. I think it was funny that the doctor, man, she's pretty snarky herself. Well, a lot of doctors have been snarky, but she has her own way of being snarky when she sees Tim Shaw face to face and tells him that he doesn't look well. How long has it been? It's like 3,407 years. And she's like, wow, you don't look good.
She said, I bet that seven must have really dragged on.
Yeah. And it was kind of nice that, you know, they didn't just do a round number like 3,000 years earlier, 4,000 right. years later. We got 3,407. And listener, if you happen to know if by any chance that number means more than just a nice random number, let us know. Okay. GoldenSpiralMedia.com/feedback. Because if it means something, I'd sure like to know about it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. But, you know, I loved when she was, quote unquote, dressing him down, the little flip of the coat she did and the whimsical smile that she had on her face. It was great. It was great. I love Jodie as a doctor so much.
Yeah. It's good, 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 good stuff.
Yeah, like, I don't know. She is her own doctor, and she has done exactly what we've all wanted. Well, the majority of us have wanted her to do. She has brought a whole new light to the role. It's enjoyable. It's very enjoyable.
Yeah, a lot of flair. Good. Yeah. It's been a pleasure to watch. I can't believe this season technically is over. Aside from the New Year's episode, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, it is.
But when we get back to Tim Shaw, this is one of the characters this season that truly does have a bit of an evil plan, doesn't he?
Yeah, he wants to steal planets. You know, something we've seen before, and the doctor makes mention of the fact that she once towed the Earth halfway across the universe. She might have to do it again. But his plan really does showcase the power of the Uggs.
Yeah, there's just the two of them, and look at what they are able to do. And they think they're doing their creator's will, you know, and just, you know, stealing planets. I mean, that's the ultimate. And that while doing that, it's creating a rip in space-time. And it's amazing that that younger apprentice, Ux, is able to do what he does. That's power.
Yeah, that's they are quite powerful creatures, which kind of leaves a plot hole here or there. But, you know, I guess we don't have to get into that. Like, for instance, why didn't they fix him completely? But that's okay. I guess they're not all powerful, and that's cool.
Yeah, they all have their weakness. Like, you know, even Superman has his kryptonite and all that happy stuff. But I couldn't help but thinking, if only the doctor would have allowed the killing of Tim Shaw back on the premiere episode, The Woman Who Fell to Earth, all of the additional death and destruction that Tim Shaw's caused could have been avoided. Oh, well.
But, you know, one thing I absolutely loved about this episode was when the doctor said quite simply, "No, don't put that on me." Wow. That's all she needed to say. That's the only thing she needed to address that situation, because, yeah, it's all on you, Tim. You did it.
Yeah, he is definitely the mastermind behind this type of thing. And the way the episode wrapped up, you know, I'll give it a bit of hand waving. I still love the episode, but waving my hand a bit on how we got all the planets back to where they came from, all with the help of the TARDIS. It was all quite magical. It looked very cool, but I'm glad that we did get it all sorted out because it was not looking good for a while for our dear planet Earth.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was genuinely fearful that something horrible would happen this episode. I'm not sure what. I thought maybe one of the companions might die.
I did too.
Season finale. Or I thought maybe the Earth for once will really actually get messed up, or at least portions of it, or something. And, you know, a lot of that I would like to give credit to Sagan Akinola again, because the music drove so much emotion in this episode.
Yes. Great work on the music. Absolutely. This season is, they picked the right guy for this.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, the tension was there. The tension was definitely there. And I mean, of course they weren't really going to destroy the Earth, because we know that's just crazy.
What if?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great question.
If they had, because, you know, we don't really know how the time lines up necessarily, because it's Doctor Who, so it could go a few ways. You know, if this 3,407 years isn't necessarily lined up exactly with our 2018, you know, depending on how far back Tim Shaw really went, it's possible that it might not be 2018 on the Earth that he was trying to steal. You know, maybe it's 2,218 or something like that, like a couple hundred more years in the future, or even a couple thousand years in the future, and say that's the end for the Earth on Doctor Who. I know, I don't think they would ever go there on a basically a children's science fiction show is how it started. But if they did, 2018 could still be in place in our, I guess, best friends, or now they want to call them the fam. Oh, no. Maybe they could still all go back to 2018 and be with their friends and family.
Yeah, because...
Reasons.
Reasons. Yep, just reasons. Timey-wimey.
I do have a question for you. You know, earlier in the episode, when Graham said, yippee-ki-yo, did you worry, even for an instant, that maybe he was going to go fully Bruce Willis on us and quote the rest of that from Die Hard?
Absolutely. Just for a split second, I was like, oh, wait, this is Doctor Who. There's no way.
That would have been quite a shocker. Oh, but, you know, it is the Christmas season. A lot of people hold on to Die Hard as a Christmas movie. So the timing was perfect, because Die Hard
was great.
Was at the tip of my mind. But,
right. You know what I wonder now that, you know, well, this is over, the season proper is over. I wonder if this was just a setup for next season. And I know that's a weird thing to say, because of course it was a setup for the following season. That's the way these things work. But what I mean is, if they're trying to feel out which characters to bring back, and if that's what's going on, I really hope they bring the Yucks back.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They do have a lot of power, so I could see them being able to do quite a few things, but, do you have specific reasons why they might be the ones you'd like to see come back the most?
Yeah, because this has been a very interesting season. There's been many mentions of faith this season.
True, true.
Which is something Doctor Who typically avoids, unless it's in more of a science fiction-y setting than normally. Here, this season, season 11, they have on several occasions just simply pronounced faith. A person's faith. The doctor said in her faith. That's really interesting to me, what Doctor Who might be trying to tackle there. And the idea of a race of faith-driven dimensional engineers. Wow, that's crazy. That's awesome. I love that idea. The idea that through their thoughts, I mean, despite whatever truth might or might not be to their religion, the idea that their thoughts allow them to be that powerful, and it's just a great idea. I think of all the creatures that I've encountered this season, the Ux are my favorite.
All right. I like the explanation, Jada. I don't know if I have necessarily, I wouldn't call this my favorite, but I can picture coming back as a big bad. I think we're kind of done with the Stenza, though. You never know on Doctor Who. But as far as a big bad who's crafty, almost in the same way as the Master, but without all of the power the Master has, is our buddy Krasko from the Rosa Parks episode. I would not be surprised if we see Krasko either on New Year's Day or at least next season. Because, yeah, you're right. He's the one that the Doctor said that between her and, I believe, Ryan had a hand in it. They sent him back as far as he could go. But, you know, they can all come back. So I would not be surprised to see Krasko yet again. So let's go ahead and dig into our ratings. I'll go ahead and go first this time. Even for its minor flaws, I'm still going to rate this episode 8.5 out of 10 half-invented wellies.
That's great. That's great. Wow, we were on a similar course. I gave it 8 out of 10 unseen battles because that really did tick me. I was waiting for a battle. the Battle of Renskor of Kalos. It's right there in the title, but I didn't get a battle.
But you know, that's okay. A good point.
I did enjoy it. 8 out of 10.
That is good stuff. As we segue into listener feedback, and you guys really brought it this week with some excellent thoughts and theories, let's dig into the results from our weekly poll on Twitter at Doctor Who GSM, as well as in your Don't Blink Facebook community group. Wanted to know, what is your mood going into the New Year's special episode, knowing that it's likely the last episode of Doctor Who you're going to see at least for a year, and vote using emojis only? So I'm kind of averaging out the votes that came in the Facebook group as well as on Twitter, and 28% voted that their mood right now is bawling my eyes out emoji. But surprisingly, 39% of the votes said it's cool. It's going to be all right. They must just be, you know, it is what it is. We got a lot of things going on. 10% said, I may shed a tear, emoji. And 23%, I don't even know the exact description of this emoji, but to me it looks like it's saying, meh, I don't really know yet. Kind of focused on the holidays. It'll get here when it gets here. So, but the comments were the interesting things that came in from the poll. Karen says, doesn't matter. It's the Doctor. And I'm always smiling.
Great, that's true.
And Graham Taylor said, sad about the wait, but at least I have over 900 old episodes to watch that I've not seen yet.
Yes, that will do it. That will definitely occupy your time in the off time. And, you know, Ruthie said, well, considering the wait of nearly 6 months between the end of season 10 and the Christmas special, and then the 9-month wait in between that and the premiere of season 11, I feel like it's par for the course. Do I like it? No. Do I think they're making a huge mistake by doing this? Yes. I know it's the Doctor, but they took a big risk this season that is paying dividends. And I think they need to continue to ride that momentum, not stagnate it. Plus, I don't like waiting that long because I'm impatient. Also, I'm not sure how I feel about a New Year's special instead of a Christmas special.
Excellent points, Ruthie. Excellent points. I'm also normally impatient and I just gimme, gimme, gimme. But yeah, we're still grappling with no Christmas special, but oh well.
But you know, there are some pretty sound reasons for them doing all of those things, even though I don't like a single one of them. ratings are better and it's more of a prime spot, New Year's versus Christmas. And like Ruthie said, we've actually been used to the waiting game, kind of. they've been doing this to us for a while. So even though we don't want it, it's nothing that we're unused to, I should say.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, and we're going to dig in more about that in the listener feedback section as well, because there's pros and cons, there's likes, there's dislikes, there's all sorts of reasons that some make sense, some not may not make quite as much sense, but in the end, we just have to wait. We'll you know, this really is the perfect time to try to dig into the classic Doctor Who. You know, a lot of them are on BritBox, some are on DVDs. Maybe you can rent them from the library instead of buying them and things like that. And speaking of long waits in relation to popular media from our friends in England, as a diehard Kate Bush fan, you know, after her Red Shoes album, it was a 12-year wait until the next new album came out. So,
wow.
In hindsight, I made it through, but yeah, it was like, right. Didn't know if there was ever going to be another one. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a new double album, Ariel, great stuff. But I digress.
But you know, Wayne, until the New Year's episode comes back, we can get ready by keeping our voicemail number handy. And that voicemail number is 304-837-2278. Or you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback and send in your listener feedback there.
Now, did you say area code 304-837-2278?
Well, yes, Wayne, I did say area code 304-837-2278.
And goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, that was the address?
Well, yes, actually that is it. goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback.
I just wanted to make sure, because between now and New Year's Day, we want everybody to be prepared, because that's going to be the last big episode until more news comes out. So we want a lot of listener thoughts and theories, but we've got some great ones to share with you this time around. We're going to check in first with our buddy Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11.
Hello, Wayne and Jada. This is Jeff living my feedback. Well, we came to the end of the first season with our new Doctor. And yes, we did get to see Tim Shaw once again, kind of bookending the season. And I really enjoyed this season because of the fam. I've enjoyed seeing Ryan and Graham's journey, and Graham has really been kind of the person that I've seen this series through, and I really appreciate that he realized that he couldn't, as much as he wanted to avenge Grace, couldn't do that because it wouldn't be the right thing. And so I enjoyed his kind of journey through the season. I'm pleased that we got to see another Downton Abbey star in this episode. We got to see Phyllis Logan, aka Mrs. Hughes. And so it was neat seeing her in this episode. I really enjoyed it. I overall was happy with the season, but I would like to see longer arcs during the next season. I think this was a good maybe intro for the new Doctor, but I would like to see some arcs in next season. I just hate that we have to wait till 2020 really to see that season. All right, thanks for all y'all do on the podcast. X-Force 11 out.
Thank you as usual, Jeff. We appreciate your thoughts always. And you're right, yeah, 2020. Wow, that's the future, isn't it?
It sure sounds like it, doesn't it, when you put it that way? Yeah, excellent to hear from you again, Jeff. Great points about Graham and the story arcs. Not the ucks, but the arcs. That's a whole different thing. But, Jeff, we appreciate your feedback. And another thing folks can do during the off-season of Doctor Who, in addition to watching classic Doctor Who, listening to Big Finish and things like that, is Jeff Gentry and I, we hosted right here on Golden Spiral Media, the Castle Rock Zone podcast. So if you have Hulu here in America, it's available on other networks in other countries. If you haven't already watched Stephen King's Castle Rock, that's just another 10-episode show, but it had some stellar episodes right in the middle that are up there with Rosa. We highly recommend you check out Castle Rock. Check out the Castle Rock Zone with Jeff Gentry and I, because there's a little bit of a timey-wimey aspect to that as well.
There's something really strange about the town called Castle Rock.
And this summer, J.J. Abrams and Hulu are bringing some of Stephen King's Castle Rock stories to life. Or to death.
Join us, Jeff Gentry and Wayne Henderson, in the Castle Rock Zone as we share your thoughts about each episode of Hulu's Castle Rock.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast and be part of the fun at CastleRockZone.com, part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network. And this summer, season 2 of Castle Rock is coming your way, so get ready. Now let's check back in with the listener line at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, or did they give us a call at area code 304-837-2278.
Hey there, Wayne and Jada. Samuel Lewis here from Going Through Who at tscn.tv/gtw. The Battle of Renskor of Kalos. I hope I didn't butcher that, but hey. We'll give it a shot. Anyway, the finale of this season of Doctor Who. Oh my God, it's time for that already. I mean, at least we get a New Year special, but I'll make reference to the unfortunate fact after that in a bit. But let's focus on the episode and be happy for a while, shall we? Doctor Who played the... Doctor Who played a long game on us. I didn't expect this to happen. I really didn't. Given Chibnall's whole thing about these are going to be standalone stories and everything like that, I honestly did not expect Zim Shaw, I think is the proper name, although we all, of course, call him Tim Shaw, you know. But I'm just looking at the spelling of it, and it's TZIM-SHA, apparently, for the appropriate thing. So I try saying it, but you know, again, butchery. The point is that this was a fantastic episode that finished off things. The fact that the planet screws with people and they used neural enhancers in order to keep things from going on. I legitimately thought one of the TARDIS crew was just going to lose their enhancer, and that's why we have the Chekhov's gun, as it were, of them having the enhancers in the first place. But instead, what we had was, no, they needed to use the enhancers for something else. Did it end up not amounting to much as problems with the Doctor and Yaz? Yeah, they were just fuzzy for a little bit, and then they got them back, and that was it. But it did make for an interesting way to stop things without almost killing someone or blowing up a planet. So there's that. The main thing that gripped me for this episode, and I'll admit it had a little bit of something to do with controversy in my own living room with this one. I've always joked that one of the things that my family has in our family, and sometimes even mom's part of this, is that sometimes there are situations in Doctor Who where it would be so much simpler if you just shot the bad guy and that was it. But the point is, Doctor Who doesn't do that, and it can be frustrating for one particular member of my family who says, no, that's justice if you shoot them, you know, stuff like that. And I'm not here to talk about the philosophy of that or anything like that. The interesting thing about the Doctor and the argument that I ended up making to them is that, if you will notice, the Doctor has a body count. It's not like the Doctor has never killed anyone. That is something that does not exist. If you even look at just classic Who, and don't take new Who into account, thousands have died at the hands of the Doctor, if not more. But what does the Doctor not allow to happen, ever, unless they just can't possibly avoid it? The companions having the blood on their hands. And in this case, it's surprising that Tim Shaw didn't die in this episode, although, you know, it allows for a possible returning bad guy, you know, if Chibnall wants to do returning bad guys. But it also gives a more horrific justice. The thing about Doctor Who that a lot of people don't really grok onto is that when the Doctor doesn't end up killing the bad guy, you usually sit there and think, death would have been better for them. In this case, locking Tim Shaw up in that thing, we don't know if he's conscious right now. It's completely possible that given how sadistic that race happens to be, that it is completely possible that you are just conscious during that whole thing, and that you're just in that stasis. In fact, we know you're conscious because one of the crew members smacked their hand on that thing. It just keeps you alive. You know, it keeps you as a trophy, and you don't really age, is what is how I've kind of took that. Otherwise, why would you put a trophy in there, keep it in a thing, but, you know, let it just rot there? That seems like not a hunter mentality to me, but, you know, like having a animal mounted and stuffed, for instance, but instead having a humanoid creature inside of a device that keeps them alive the entire time while they just sit there and can't do anything. Oh yeah, that's more of what I think the Stenza would do, and that's how I'm sort of headcanoning it, as it were, that no, Tim Shaw is now locked in a thing in which he just has to sit there, cannot get out, and that's his punishment. In other words, death would have been better for him, but that's not what he gets. He gets justice instead. And that's a hard pill to swallow for some people when it comes to dealing with Doctor Who, is that sometimes the justice that the Doctor dishes out is that it's going to be unpleasant. And really, if you stop and think about it, sometimes you feel almost icky about the things that the Doctor has done, even to incredulously evil people. I mean, I know some people that I'm friends with that have no problems with the idea of, no, you're an evil person, ergo, evil placed upon you. And, you know, I've always been icky about that sort of thing. I kind of have the Doctor's way of thinking, and you know, I don't have everyone in my household agreeing with me on this, that I don't like the idea of just grabbing a gun and shooting them. It's the easy way out. And sure, it would be delivering justice, but at the same time, it's not the way the Doctor does it, one. So you have to accept that immediately, because this is the attitude that Doctor Who has had about weapons since the 60s. This isn't like this is something new that is coming along with Chibnall. Doctor Who has felt this way forever, whether it's the Third Doctor ranting while he was with UNIT about the military mind, see a problem, blow it up, or whatever. The Doctor has always felt this way about weapons. This isn't a 13th Doctor trait by any means of the or stretch of the imagination. But in this case, I really think it was the Doctor wanting Graham not to get blood on his hands simply because an injustice was done to him. And I think that's really one of those good Doctor moments instead of what some might see as a bad Doctor moment. but still, it'll have its controversy. I know it will. But all in all, interesting idea of an ultra-powerful duo race that can stretch the fabric of reality. Also, you guys know me, I love my classic references, so I just have to say, collecting a bunch of planets by stealing them from where they are and making them tiny versions of themselves by compressing the matter, pirate planet, anybody? This has been done before. There was another alien race that did, in fact, steal planets. It was in the Fourth Doctor era. A lot of Fourth Doctor references, I'm thinking, in this season. I keep on saying that in these feedbacks. I keep on going, that's right, I've been mentioned to Tom Baker a lot this season. but look up the pirate planet if you want to find something, although it is part of a thing called The Key to Time. It was a storyline that carried on. It's one of my mom's favorite Fourth Doctor arcs, as it were. It was pretty much one of the first times that Doctor Who did an arc for an entire season, was them going around collecting the keys to time for the White Guardian. Spoiler alert, might not have been the White Guardian. But anyway, the point is, we're dealing with things that have been done before, is the point. And I do that not as a knock, but yeah. Anyway, I have ranted way too long anyway about this, because it was just a fantastic episode. So much character development, so much awesome stuff, and I'm looking forward to New Year's. So I will see you guys in the coming year for one episode. One freaking episode, and then we have to wait. Ah, well, thus is the nature of television shows nowadays. Even Game of Thrones did it. So, this is Samuel Lewis signing off for the last time in 2018, and see you in the new year.
Samuel, thank you so very much. Excellent thoughts in that feedback. We greatly appreciate it. I love the point you made about the Doctor Who long game versus Chris Chibnall's promised standalone episodes.
Yeah, it was interesting to see how that was going to turn out. Everyone had their opinions, whether he would stick to it or whether things would change. And I think for the most part, he stuck to it. This last one was a curveball. We got a recurring character, but that's okay. That's okay.
And I forgot to mention earlier about what Samuel brought up, that the planet actually causes you to lose your mind like it did to Poltracki. So why they needed those, neuro enhancers, whatever. And sorry about the controversy in your own living room, Samuel, but I love your noticing that the Doctor does help keep the companions / best friends / fam from having blood on their own hands.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I never really looked at it like that, but it makes total sense. Thanks, Sam. That was great. It made sense. And it also made sense about Tim Shaw's punishment. Right. He already has his trophies on his face.
Right. And now he has to be a trophy himself.
Yeah, that's great. I didn't think about any of that. I guess I was just so caught up in it, but that's great. I like that.
And he gets justice instead of what he deserved. And the exact clarification about the classic Who, the pirate planet, the fourth Doctor, collecting stolen tiny planet. Well, they're not tiny till you steal them and then compress them. Maybe they're easier to steal. Maybe they do make them tiny and then steal them.
Hey, they're definitely easier to carry around.
Yeah, it was quite a quandary how it was explained that if you got a whole planet inside this crystal, we should not be able to lift it. But through the magic of Doctor Who, there you have it. So if you want even more Doctor Who discussions, be sure to check out Samuel's podcast, Going Through Who, that's focused on every single episode of classic Doctor Who. They're going through Who. They haven't made it through all of classic yet, but jump in. I listen to the episodes even if I haven't seen the corresponding episode because it helps fill in the gaps. And it's fun listen.
You know what? I'm going to have to definitely give that a try. Thanks again, Sammy, for your feedback. And, you know, thank you, everyone, for all of your emailed feedback that you sent to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, much like feedback we got from Sci-Fi Gene. Gene says, I've been watching pieces of Doctor Who Generations. Although I was never able to see an entire generation from start to finish. So now that there's a new Doctor, I've been watching it since the first appearance of the new Doctor, and I enjoy it. I'm also a longtime listener of Central City Underground, so I enjoy listening to Jada. Thank you, Sci-Fi Gene. I truly appreciate that, and welcome to the TARDIS.
Awesome. Welcome aboard. Great to hear from you. Also got an email from Erin. She says, I wonder if Graham asking if they had to be the ones to help is a layover from last week and seeing Mirror Grace is still affecting him. Or will this be a recurring theme for Graham's character where he doesn't get excited about missions because of what could happen? I kind of wish Doctor had called Tim Shaw Timmy when she met him just as another way to hit at him and let him know who she was. I'm with you, whatever happens. Exchange between 13 and Yaz got Aaron's attention. And Aaron says, I'll be honest and say Graham's arc might have been the best story of the episode. A well-done struggle is always interesting. The takedown of Tim Shaw and the scene of Graham and Ryan locking him up was great. This was a good episode and a great way to wrap up the season as a whole, I felt. 10 out of 10. And if that New Year's special doesn't scream Daleks, I don't know what does. Yeah, the description, but you never know with Chris Chibnall. He could be throwing another curveball. Also on Twitter, Ken from Chicago says season 11 was really good, especially for a new Doctor, companions, showrunner, gender, and foes. also a new point of view on religion this season that was less anti-religion and more anti-exploiting religion to do horrible acts. And I think that summed it up the best way, Ken. That was a great catch. And yeah, I think that's what they got going on now. And Ian Knight just wanted to let us know that, yes, I did pack an emergency sandwich.
That was great. That was great. You know, we also got some great thought-provoking feedback as well from the Don't Blink Facebook group. A lot of interesting discussions about the decision to not have the next season / series of Doctor Who until early 2020, including this from Fred. More than any other show on TV, this is their excuse. Shedding light on the news that there would be a 2-year wait until season 12, the BBC's entertainment correspondent Lizo Mzimba has said, Doctor Who has almost uniquely complex filming requirements and a lengthy post-production period. As I said in another comment, many U.S. cable TV shows have this type of gap in between seasons. It's not good for continuity, practically forcing a rewatch prior to the upcoming season. Remember what happened last on Mr. Robot, for example? But the level of difficulty is completely up to them.
Another great explanation, Fred. Thank you so much for that. There are so many great comments. Please join our Don't Blink Facebook group and read all the comments and chime in with your own. But that's a good point. And even though it's the norm and it might just be the way things are going to be done now with, you know, like you said, Game of Thrones, Mr. Robot, and even one of my other most favorite shows, The Man in the High Castle, Fred, you bring up a great point. You basically almost have to do at least a partial rewatch to get caught up to date, to figure out where everything was left off, who everybody is, before watching the new season. And much like how Ruthie mentioned earlier in the show, the momentum, you know, keep the momentum going, but they'll just have to do, I guess, extra promotion once we get close to the next season in 2020, you know, appearing on all sorts of TV shows, media pushes, clever social media things, all sorts of stuff. We'll have to keep our eyes peeled. Going to be interesting to see what happens. But in the meantime, be sure to keep the Doctor Who conversations going in the Don't Blink Facebook group between now and New Year's and the long wait after. Some of the other excellent conversations happening right now that we want you to check out are more about the official and unofficial reasons why the next season won't be until 2020. Also, since we're not getting the Christmas episode, that also means that we definitely won't be hearing the great classic rock song Merry Christmas, Everybody by Slade in yet another Doctor Who episode for ages. So I put the YouTube video of that song in the Facebook group because nothing says Doctor Who Christmas special. I think that song is in half of them.
Yeah, I think it really is. I think it really is. But, you know, also there you can find a nice article about the generally higher TV ratings for Doctor Who this season. That and even more. And you know what, guys? You can always follow us on Twitter. You can follow the podcast at Doctor Who GSM. And you can follow me at Stories Voice. And you can follow Wayne Henderson at Wayne Henderson. Remember to subscribe to Don't Blink in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Also, check out all of the links and things to be discussed in the show notes at don'tblinkpodcast.com.
And thank you so very much for joining us on this episode of the Don't Blink Podcast. Until that New Year's special episode, please tell all of your best friends and your fam here and 3,407 years in the past. Tell them all about the Don't Blink Podcast, but don't blink.
Don't even blink.
Thank you for listening to Don't Blink, a Doctor Who fan podcast, part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network of shows. I'm the Doctor in Utah, and the majestic tale of a madman in a box are used with permission from Silver Screen Records. They are composed by Murray Gold and performed by the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, conducted by Ben Foster. Taken from the original Doctor Who soundtrack, Doctor Who Series 6, available on Silver Screen Records.